Well, after the Feast of Tabernacles. After the feast, each year, which does end God's annual cycle of holy days, it's a good time. It may be one of the best times to renew ourselves and prepare ourselves for a new year ahead. You know, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, you don't need to turn there, but it says, in the last days, perilous times or stressful times will come. And what comes to us personally in the next 12 months is mostly unknown. We don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know nationally. We don't know personally. Hopefully, good will mostly come our way, but there may be some bad. We don't know. But we do have some control as to what comes our way. We can plan and we can arrange life the best we can to meet the next 12 months as peacefully and as successfully as they can be in our lives. There are unknowns, and everyone is subject to time and chance in our lives. But we can do planning. You know, as Christians, our lives are dedicated and given to God. Jesus Christ has bought us. You know, He's purchased us as His servants. In all that we do, that we go about in our daily activities, we're His servants. We're paid for. And as we go about planning a new year, we must give God, who owns us, top priority. Any goals and any objectives that we set must include and be tempered by what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33, we've heard this many, many times in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, all the physical things of life that we really need will be given to us. Not particularly the things that we would like to have, but what we need, God will provide as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You know, God is in the business of making us spiritually rich, not necessarily physically rich. My message today involves planning our lives around God, who we serve. I've entitled this message, Planning the New Year. I want to touch on various aspects of physical planning, financial planning, and spiritual planning so it can help us seek first God's kingdom. And all this is a tremendously big subject. It could probably be a whole afternoon seminar, but I'm going to bring it down into just a few minutes and give you a taste of what I'm trying to get across in this goal of planning our lives so we can better serve God. The Bible approves our efforts to organize and plan our lives. And we can see that in the wisdom of King Solomon in the Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, and this is one of those that would be good to underline in our Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 26. It says, ponder, consider, think about the path of your feet, where you are going, and let all your ways be established, that is, determined and properly ordered. You know, if we go to other translations, we see these added words that I'm adding here. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So a wise person, and it is good to be wise, will ponder and think about life and his future and order it the best he can. You know, a wise person will also stay away from evil, away from sin as he plans his life. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, that is, carefully, thoughtfully, not as fools, but as wise. Again, it's good to be wise as Christians. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we use our time well in planning, we can make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. Again, we don't know what the next 12 months will bring to us, but planning will help make it the best that it can be. So I want to now look at three very practical areas of personal planning, with an emphasis in all of this on the spiritual, so we can seek first the kingdom of God. That's the whole point of this message, is planning our lives so we can better serve God and seek first his kingdom. Number one, physical planning. This involves planning all the physical details of being here and over there in our personal and family and our church lives. You know, we run to and fro all the time, and we've got to remember things to do. And from my experience, to plan successfully, it takes either a photographic memory, where you can remember everything perfectly, or we have to use a planning tool to compensate for not so good a memory. We've all forgotten dates or things to do. They've slipped us. So my best planning tool to recommend is what? A calendar. Now, don't make fun of that, because that's true. It can be a cheap paper calendar, or it can be electronic calendar, which are becoming very popular today. But it needs to be something that we can carry around with us most of the time, like a pocket calendar or a smartphone calendar. You know, a calendar with a notepad is probably best, so you can take those notes. And to have that notepad and then merge those notes into your calendar is the starting point of getting our life together, getting us on schedule. If we go out and plant a garden, if we, you know, have got to go mow the yard, if we got to paint a wall in the house, we have to have tools. They all work better. The job goes better with a tool. You know, a calendar, even the simplicity of a calendar, is the perfect tool to ponder life, to organize and plan better our physical lives so we can better serve God spiritually. And I've put this into practice many, many years, and it's been proven very, very helpful. There's a link between serving God spiritually and physically planning our lives. Now, with the calendar in hand, we've got our calendar, maybe for 2013. Our first entry should be the holy days of God. That's the first thing we should be putting into our calendar every year. We put God first by putting his days first, and then planning and revolving our lives around His days. His days take top priority over everything we do. God uses His calendar Himself. Have you thought about that? God uses a calendar Himself. His great plan for all of mankind is revealed in His calendar, which has appointed days for us to observe. So as we mark His days in our calendar, we can then begin to plan. We can plan life around those days. For example, the days we will need off from work or school to go and observe His days. We can then plan a date to notify our supervisor or the school teachers of needed time off to go and worship God. So we've got a basis now. We can plan. We take the holy days and we plan out away from them. And all of this, again, is physical planning to help our spiritual lives. The calendar should contain also all of our appointments, our to-do activities, our family events. Every day we should spend a little time reviewing and revising things that need to go into our calendar. For example, since it's not good to ignore our health, you know, all of our medical visits can be scheduled. That's just an example. And with a notepad, in combination with that calendar, we can jot down things that come to mind that we need or should do. Even those things that I like to call spiritual prompts from God. Now, to me, if God's Spirit is active in us, God will be bringing to mind, prompting us of things to act on. This message that you're hearing today is one of God's prompts. Most speakers get prompts from God, and they stay there. You ask Mr. Cagle. Maybe his message today, he got prompted by God to give it. They get stuck in there and they won't go away until we develop it and give it. We all have prompts to do good for other people. We have prompts from God's Spirit that we should do this. Now, if we have a calendar, if we have a notepad with us, when those prompts come, then we can record those prompts as reminders into our calendar before they get away from us. Because we can't trust our memory. And I've regretted letting some of my spiritual prompts get away from me before writing them down. So our calendar can be a tool, a good tool to accomplish and better serve God as we seek first His kingdom. Number two, financial planning. Financial planning. This involves planning all the financial details in our lives, including those that deal with worshiping God. You know, everyone needs a plan. Or everyone needs to plan to live financially within their means. And the best way to do that is to know for sure, without any guesswork, what's coming in and what's going out financially. So our planning tool in this point is to have a budget on paper where we can see. So we can view how much we can reasonably spend each month on groceries and on this and on that. Makes sense, doesn't it? And if we don't control our spending in relation to our income, we will go into debt. It's as simple as that. And if we go into debt enough, we're going to have some headaches and we're going to have some sleepless nights worrying about how we're going to pay off this debt because we didn't control our spending in relationship to our income. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, Proverbs 22, verse 7, it says, "The rich rules over the poor." And that's true. The rich have power. Going on in the verse, it says, "And the borrower, the one in debt, you know, the one spending more than what he has, is servant to the lender, is a slave to the lender." You know, being in debt is being controlled by another party. You know, we're subject to their rules. We have to live by what they demand because we're in debt to them. Our goal, ideally, should be never to be in debt, except for maybe a reasonable home mortgage, a reasonable car loan, you know, if we can really afford those things. You know, if we can't afford a reasonable home and a reasonable car, then we've got to make other plans. And if we have credit cards, it's best never to just pay that minimum balance due on those cards, you know, from month to month. Our plan should be to pay off credit card balances every month so we can mostly be debt-free and we won't have to pay interest. In ancient Israel, God knew the negative consequences of debt and how it could affect the lives of His people and the whole nation. And God created a national financial law to forgive and release the debts of poor people every 7 years. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. "At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts." That was the law in Israel. It was for poor people. It was not necessarily for rich people. At that time, all creditors were to release the debts on that seventh year on their neighbors and their brothers who were poor. And I don't have time to go into all of those details, but dropping down to verse 6 there, Deuteronomy 15, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord your God will bless you just as He promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you." You know, Israel as a nation was to be a creditor nation to others. It was not to borrow and have debt. That was God's design. Of course, our nation, Israel, today has ignored this command to not borrow, just as it has ignored most of the other laws of God. In addition to controlling debt, our financial planning should include an emergency fund, a savings account for when the unexpected happens. And the unexpected happens to all of us, unexpectedly. But that's part of planning, is knowing it's going to happen. So if you've got money in an emergency fund, things, you can get through that. We don't use that money except for emergencies. And our financial planning must, of course, include our giving to God. God has established a law of tithes and offerings that truly reflect our devotion in serving God. Bottom line, our giving to God shows our devotion to God. God doesn't need our money to get along and do what He wants. See, He gives us the opportunity to give so He will know where our heart is. And this is not a sermon on tithing. But many here sitting here, including myself, can testify that blessings do come when we freely give of what God has given to us. You know, our financial budget should include tithing and saving to attend those holy days each year. Remember those days that we put on our calendar to go and observe? God has a plan for us to get to those days every year. When the feast is one of the greatest blessings that we can enjoy with our church family, our personal families and our church family. But it's up to each one of us to have faith and to do our part to allow that blessing to come into our lives. God's not going to force that on us. We plan by putting aside our festival tithe. So let's notice some of that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. I won't read all of that. 14:22, Deuteronomy, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide." Verse 24, "But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses." Verse 26, "And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." At the feast this year, were we able to spend our festival tithe on whatever our heart desired? Did we have enough to buy and purchase whatever our heart desired? You know, sometimes our lack of physical planning can cause us to miss out on one of the spiritual high points of the year. Keeping the feast, which is keeping the feast, you know, where God has chosen to place his name. If we record the holy days faithfully in our calendar, then we're obligated to keep those days. We have no excuse because we're planning for them. And then we can financially plan for them by putting away a tithe for safekeeping. Point number three. Spiritual planning. This involves using all the spiritual tools available to establish and maintain a strong relationship with God. We have to plan to worship God. The spiritual obligations of true Christians are many. We have many spiritual things to do. We must plan and design ways to always be willing, wholeheartedly, to obey God and have enduring faith in times of great trial. We don't know what these coming next 12 months will bring to us. We have to plan that regardless of what comes, we have to obey God. And we have to have the faith that we will hang in there and be tough. We have to equip ourselves and develop ourselves to be living sacrifices in a world that really has little interest in godly ways. You know, we had an election this past week, And just from a personal standpoint, as I observe the big picture of this election, you know, I see a nation that really doesn't care a whole lot about God's way of life. I see a nation that prefers to do what they think is right in their own eyes instead of obeying God. That's what I see in this election. And every year we get further and further away from God. And the curses are coming right afterwards. They're getting more and more prevalent upon this nation and all of modern Israel and all of the Gentile nations as well. One of the prime tools to help guide our spiritual path is to have our minds focused. Focused in God's Word, the Bible, as often as possible. That's our link. That's our tool. This allows God to talk to us through the pages of His Word. You know, our spiritual plan and commitment should be to read God's Word daily, to let God talk to us daily. What's wrong with that? Why would we not want to do that? But yet we all, I mean, all of us fail to do that consistently. One little simple approach is to read one chapter a day, and making notes of anything that is not clear. And if we read one chapter a day, we may find, hey, I've got time for a second chapter. Personally, I have found that reading and using newer and more readable translations help a lot. And if you're into the electronic world, there's Bible apps out there that we can put on our phones or electronic readers, if that would be of some interest. The point being, we need consistent feeding from God's Word to keep our lives spiritually on fire. We need God talking to us, explaining how to live life, reminding us of His commandments and what to do every day. And as God talks to us, we can then talk to Him daily in prayer. We can take His words that we read and use them in planning our lives better. From my experience, a better life, spiritual life, is also gained when we strive to enter the spiritual rest that God has given us in the Sabbath at the close of each week. Today is God's Sabbath day. It's a blessing beyond description. You know, the Bible has given us a principle, a tradition, a planning tool to help us prepare for God's Sabbath week in and week out. It's in Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. I won't read the rest of the verse. And it's understood here that this particular verse is speaking of an annual Sabbath day, not the weekly Sabbath day, but the principle is still valid. And the principle of a preparation day has value. But do we take advantage of that planning tool to use it? You know, using some portion of each Friday in preparing for the weekly Sabbath can help us wind down physically and be better prepared mentally to enter the spiritual rest that God desires of us. And with the early sundown that we have now, around 5:19 today, it takes special planning for some to prepare for the Sabbath. We may have to do some planning on Thursday. And that's not a violation of any law that I know of, to have a Thursday preparation day. You know, God created the Sabbath for us, to benefit us, to help us, to lift us up. We weren't created for the Sabbath. He says that in Mark 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a time to refresh ourselves from a busy week. It's a time to even go to bed early on Friday and get extra rest if we need to. It's time to do good by visiting the sick and interacting spiritually with those of like mind. Great blessing to interact with those of like mind. What better activity is there of being with God's people? Part of our planning for a new year can be also obligating ourselves to attend church every Sabbath without fail, unless we're sick. To do so will help us abide by what's said in Hebrews 10 of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It'll keep us closer to God and closer to seeking first His kingdom. So in all of this planning that I've talked about, and I've just scratch the surface on this subject. I mean, this is, again, probably a whole afternoon seminar. I could have many of you come up here and give all of the tools that you use to get through life and to plan life and to do this and to do that better. But in all of this planning that I've mentioned, can we ever have too much of God in our lives? You know, can we do so much planning that we're doing is just thinking of God and worshiping God, and we have time for nothing else? You know, can we have too much of God? Well, I don't think so. You know, I don't think so, because I think the carnality within us, I think the selfishness within us that we all struggle with, will ever prevent us from ever having too much of God in our lives. So what changes would we like to make in the coming year? What changes do we need to make in the coming year? What areas can we grow and serve God and others more successfully? You know, there's no better time than now. Maybe after every feast, we can get that new calendar for the next year. And what's the first thing we do? We put next year's holy days in that calendar. There's no better time than really now. I mean, we don't need to wait until after each feast, but right now, we need to ponder and prepare ourselves to seek first God's kingdom. And we do that, and to do that, we must have determination. We must be strong, because there's a scripture in Matthew 26, verse 41. The last part of that verse, it says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." If there's any one scripture we know about, that's it. You know, our carnal nature is weak, even though we want to do better. You know, it takes resolve and willpower to keep a calendar full of to-dos and constantly keep it going. It takes resolve. It takes resolve to control our spending and stay on budget. It takes resolve to let God talk to us every single day by reading His Word. But it can be done. It's possible. We have God's Spirit that can help us do that. And some are doing it now and reaping the benefits. I want to close with one final scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3:13, Paul is writing here. And Paul says, brethren, you know, he's speaking to the church. And he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. And, of course, I'm taking this to get the full picture. We need to read the whole context here. But he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That is, having obtained salvation. You know, he's not saying. He's saying that I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't got it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul was committed to keep on going. And I would say, let's all of us resolve to press on to that same goal that the Apostle Paul sought. We're all on the same road here. We're all wanting the same end result. Let's forget the past, you see, and let's look ahead and plan ahead by redeeming the time. And let's plan our physical and our financial and our spiritual lives. Why? To better seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.